Thank you all for coming. What I'm going to try and do is walk through some examples of what we're doing in the retail arena. Examples that Walmart is doing. They're also representative of what some of the other retailers are doing, and hopefully demonstrate some opportunity areas to you in both existing buildings and in new construction forward. However, I like to start with this. I know everybody has seen these before. We're flooded with this stuff, but in my opinion, you just can't see enough of it. I mean, that's what is bringing us together. That's what's culminating in this global effort today. You know, in 10,000 BC to about 1700, this planet accumulated, if you will, about 700 million population. Since 1700, we've grown 6 billion. That's phenomenal. So the shape of that curve is just, it's scary. It's non-sustainable. That's why we're here. CO2 is the highest it's been in about 650,000 years. Like population, it was holding about 280 parts per million until the last 100 years, roughly, or less, and it spiked to 380. Scientists suggest if it goes over 450, it may be a point of no return. Non-sustainable. We have to consider that. Our planet exceeded its own capability of sustaining us agriculturally about 1985. Right now, our current demand is worth about 1.3 planet Earths. So all of these things together culminate in a global effort and a global need for us to come together and identify opportunities in energy, in which leads to business, which leads to economics, and current economic situation obviously has its own set of challenges. But I love this quote, series of great opportunities disguised as insoluble problems. That's really the way we have to look at it and the way we need to move forward. Anyway, quick perspective reset. As I said, I don't think we can visit that and revisit that enough. So Walmart, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Walmart and what we're doing and where we're at. These are some of the banners that you may have seen that are associated with Walmart around the world. What our global presence looks like. We're about 7,500 stores globally, about $375 billion annually as of 2007. I do not have the 2008 annual report out yet. We're just shy of a billion square feet. In 2007, globally, we were 933 million square feet. However, I added down here in red, this isn't going to work. Anyway, I added down here in red our recent acquisition in Chile last week of 180 units, and I don't have that square footage, but I suspect we're pushing the borders of a billion square feet. We have lots of different formats around the world and around the country, from very simple buildings to more advanced urban multi-level buildings, coastal environments, low-level, mid-box, small-box grocery, again, multi-level parking structures, subterranean buildings completely underground, different geometries of building with high glazing and low glazing, typical suburban large box retail. So what does that profile look like from an energy and climate footprint? Well, there's a Walmart store near you, most likely. So what that offers is in one regard, a significant opportunity to advance technology and advance commercialization, or even rapid commercialization of technologies. And that's a great opportunity, and that's Walmart, and when you put the whole retail alliance in there, you can't see any map behind it just about. So we've got a great opportunity in front of us to advance technology. However, it also can be an inhibitor of scale being an increased risk liability, perhaps. We've all experienced that. Cost barriers and technical to market timeline can be accelerated, but deployment versus available resources and the risks associated with that fast deployment have to be considered. There are unintended consequences, but we all want to avoid. And that's why we're here. We want to share those. We want to partner so that we can accelerate what has historically been a slower process from technology to market. A couple of quotes I think sum up and really hit it from both sides. When you look at that scale and how fast we're going to do this, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. There's a lot of wisdom in there, but at the other side, everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And I'm kind of simple-minded myself, so I like to use car analogies. And the automobile, I mean, is the ultimate of these two expressions. That is an extremely complex piece of machinery with thousands of moving parts that have to work perfectly in sync, yet it is made so simple that almost anybody can operate it. The complexity behind that is it's extreme intelligence disguised as simplicity. You pay $10,000 to $20,000 for that technology. It's extremely reliable. Yet on our buildings market, we can pay $10 to $20 million for a building, and it's difficult to operate. It's energy wasteful. It's resource demanding. We've got to figure out a better way and create a better machine in the buildings industry. So anyway, moving on. That footprint from a CO2 perspective, and this goes back to comments Drew made. The key on this slide is in the red circle up there. 90% of our building CO2 emissions, or 90% of our CO2 emissions are directly from our buildings, from energy and refrigerants. So that's phenomenal. That's compared to a truck fleet of over 7,000 trucks. So we have huge opportunities in the building footprint. Also wanted to go through some profiles of what our buildings look like and try and identify the opportunity. So I grabbed just a few sampling. We have hundreds of these samplings we can look at. But this is actual store utility usage on just a few 139 protos. For us, a 139 is a general merchandise box. I'm going to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 139,000 square feet. Pretty clever naming convention. But as you can see, there's not a lot of difference there, and I grabbed them from different areas to give you an idea. The guy here on the end, and this thing isn't really working well, but if you can see the number at the bottom, the 1882, interesting 1882, highest user in that category is Selma, California. On the other end, 3420, the lowest user in that category is Westbury, New York. And you can see where the HVAC and the lighting come into play. And by the way, the refrigeration load is extremely low. These formats only have a small, what we call expanded food. It could even be small self-contained or just a very small, simple system. Next one is a 136, which is a Sam's Club in comparison. And by the way, the average of those stores is 13.5. kilowatts per square foot, and that's electric load, you know, somewhere in the 46,000 BTU range. Now we look at a Sam's Club, starting to get more diversity in the load profile from the different locations. Again, if we look at a comparison down there on the end, like 6205, high user, any guesses where that might be? Yuma, Arizona. So opportunity should be popping in your head about what we can do in Yuma, Arizona. If you look somewhere in the middle there, about 8278, kind of the mid of the slope there, Greenville, South Carolina. And then down at the bottom, 1499 is a comparison, Lewisburg, West Virginia. And these are all similar box size. Obviously, there's age differences between them and so forth. So there's quite the possibility that there's some different technologies applied. And then we get to our large super center, our 195 box. Again, fair diversity from one side to the other, but down at the end, the 1859 highest user, again, Calexico, California, right on the Mexican border and a high-volume store. That's a $100 million-plus store every year, so a lot of traffic goes through that store. Should be some opportunities there. Right next to it, 3207, similarly high, is Sanford, Florida. Climate's starting to tell you what intuitively you would suspect. In the middle, 2459, Spokane, Washington, and 5361, Omaha, Nebraska. kind of mid-zones there. And then down at the end, the best performers, at least on this profile, 29-23, Billings, Montana, 66-73, Chictauqua, New York. So seeing where climate's coming into play. And if you can see the smaller graphs, you can see the comparison and the balance between the HVAC lighting loads and so forth. So it's interesting to see in some areas, lighting seems to be performing very well, but the same lighting technology applied in another location with similar sunlight hours per year, not so well. Opportunities. This is our 195 model. This is interesting to see how well we're comparing and how well we can forecast some of the technologies and opportunities that, hopefully you'll bring forward. If we look at our actual profile here, 27 kilowatts per square foot averaged of this sampling compared to our representative models in the 13 climate zones here, and these are kind of Walmartized ASHRAE climate zones, 26-43. It's pretty similar, and we've done this with groups of hundreds of stores representing the climate zones, so we feel pretty confident in the model profiles that we have, which gives us and therefore gives you tools to help us identify areas of savings. This is the 195 HE model. This represents our new high-efficiency prototype pilot that we are currently building. We have several of them around the country right now and continuing it. Again, considerable correlation in the actual to the first model and the second model, but now we're down to about 17.8, pushing the 60,000 BTU range on a supercenter. If you took all of those climate zones and bundled them up into a single aggregate or averaged profile of a Walmart supercenter, that's about how it pans out. So you can see the opportunities and loads there. And where a U.S. supercenter falls in some of the other markets that we work in, we look pretty good compared to some of them. We got some great opportunities in other markets. And we support international through my team as well, so we're very interested in opportunities that may come to light here and through the Retail Energy Alliance for application throughout the world, as are all of the retailers and other commercial building groups that have interest in other areas. So what's the limit? This is looking through our model profiles, our actual baseline average, model baseline, some discrepancy there, but reasonably representative. Our 25% goal that we've placed on ourselves for reduction. And then we created this theoretical model, and we tried to just remove, you know, equipment irreversibilities, if you will, and just look at the boundary of the building and say conditions, processes within this building in this environment in a perfect world, theoretically, what is the best we could achieve? And that's about a 75% reduction. So how are we going to get to those types of realities? And the answer is enhancements versus new systems. So the enhancements are needed. We're talking about those, and we want to promote those. We encourage those. But we also need to consider new systems. We're going to reach the limit. So enhancements will only carry us so far. We need new systems. We need to look at new ways of doing the old tricks. And as an example, I want to profile one particular store we've done and share some of the maybe successes and not so successes with this project. We consider this one, from Walmart's perspective, a very big departure from the norm. This store has a full radiant cooling slab coupled to centralized indirect evaporative cooling, secondary loop refrigeration systems, LED lighting, but mainly it's a vast departure from anything we've ever done from a proto standpoint. The key to the system is a new technology around radiant floor systems that make it affordable. It's a pre-manufactured rapid rollout mat system that rolls out right in front of the concrete pour, as you can see. The key for us is that it could not affect the placement and finishing of the concrete. So here you see it rolled out right in front of the trucks. The laser screeds come right behind it, and the finishers are right behind them. So after the first few swaths or pours, we had a little bit of coordination, but the net result is zero impact on the poor. So that's a big success for us, and it's an enabler to so many more technologies. Centralized indirect evaporative cooling on the roof, that's a plug-and-play, pre-manufactured pump packages. Again, we, from our perspective and from most retail perspective, we're building on a prototype, on a program base, millions of square feet per year, so we can't look at individual engineered systems on a built-up approach. And what's even more impressive on this store is what's missing on the roof. Normally you'd see 39 RTUs scattered across that roof, and here, aside from the signature daylight or skylights from Walmart, it's a pretty clean suite. There's only 9 rooftop units on this store. So what's the story after we've done this? This thing's been open and running almost a year, about 8-9 months now. And so for the first 3 months of operation, by the way, in the first slide, if you didn't catch it, our models projected that this store would save on average 40 to 45% energy savings. The first 3 months of operation, we averaged 43% reduction on comp stores in the same region, in the same area. Here's the interesting part. The next 3 quarters, we saved 1%. So, and actually that's pretty good. We think this is great. This is the lessons we were looking for. That's why you build one, then you build two. The good part is we understand exactly what happened. And so now we understand what to do. It's not the technology in this case. It's some simple stuff. It's operation and maintenance. We weren't geared to deal with this. This is a water-based system. Traditionally, we've done a terrible job at water-based. And the focus of this store helped us, from a program standpoint, raise that issue within the company and get dedicated resources. Now we have a dedicated program in place. We feel really good about our water treatment systems going forward. We had fundamental equipment issues. We've recognized those. So we're moving forward. And we've had control problems. But all of these things are recognizable, they're controllable. We have the confidence now we're moving forward. We have 6 more projects in play right now with the same technology and feel real good about it. So even though we see a drastic change here, we call this a success because it's a technology that can be successful and it's at the right cost barrier and we feel it's got opportunity to a greater market. So I wanted to quickly go through some other lessons, and I did this on purpose. These are not failures. If it doesn't go forward, a failure does not equal abandonment. A failure equals a technology refresh, and we all go through this. We tried that 10 years ago. It doesn't work. Well, technology has come a long way in 10 years. So everything that may not go forward today just simply goes back in the hopper for technology refresh. Daylighting. We've talked about it before. You know, that is, without a doubt, a big success, a big win for Walmart. We've been doing it for over 10 years, over 2,000 stores, well over 350 million square feet of daylighting. However, credit has to be given where credit's due. It wasn't an ingenious move on our part. We've been doing daylighting for years and years. This is Alcatraz Prison. Looks extremely similar, doesn't it? So some ideas borrowed that have been around a long time, but nonetheless a success story. We have expanded on it into different geometries and shapes, produced great daylighting. Is this a move forward? Not so much. It's terribly cost prohibitive from a retail environment, but it looks good. Different types of roof technologies. These have opportunities. They're not abandoned. We're still working through these. They have opportunities in certain applications, as do different types of daylighting for back-of-house applications and so forth. LED lighting, Drew mentioned it before, hands down a success story. A great market technology-to-market story. Our first LED installation was in 2005. Was not cost-effective. We paid a premium for it. The second store was not cost-effective. We paid a premium for it, but we recognized an opportunity, and we felt the market was heading that way, and working with manufacturers, there was a commitment there. By 2006, we were starting to roll them out on a retrofit basis. Today they're prototype, and we're doing about 500 stores a year. So not just Walmart, it's spread through the industry. I think it's a recognized success story. Another shot of them. They just look better. They make the product pop. Hybrid solar. Expensive technology. It's in refresh and continued development. Concentrated solar driven down fiber optic. We have this in one store. Learned a lot from it. LED parking lot. This is the next LED case lighting. We have parking lots retrofitted today. We have our first full ground up opening this spring. In 2 years, this is going to be prototype-like LEDs. This is moving fast, and it's a great technology, and it's applicable across all building sectors. Green roofs, again, we're trying that, but we try to test for effectiveness. That's why only half the roof is done here. There's meters embedded in the roof. We're measuring heat flux through the roof, both on the reflective side and on the green roof side, and capturing water and measuring that as well. Rainwater collection. A success. The inhibitor is planning and siting, but the ability to pull it off the roof, in this case, we're driving it to the evaporative condensers in the refrigeration plant, and we're using it for site irrigation. In this configuration, we're moving forward with projects in rainwater collection. This configuration, a little more difficult. Obviously, it takes a big piece of land, and it's got a maintenance and obviously a first construction cost to it. On-site renewables, we're working them. We're trying. Wind is difficult on site. We've done large towers. We've done small towers. It's still working. We feel positive going forward that the technology is going to get there for us. Solar PV, yes, we're moving forward with that. It is still incentive-based, but it's moving fast. We've got 25 stores installed now. We're ready to release another 25 this year. And we'll continue building there. On-site generation, a challenge. Microturbines with waste heat on absorbers and heat exchangers. They've been extremely reliable. Our challenge is doing adequate matching of thermal utilization. And so it's still in review. It's not a forward project per se in program, but definitely still being looked at and tested. Solar wall, success, difficult to implement from an architectural standpoint on building integrated. We've since, in the bottom corner, started looking at an independent modular. This is at the test lab at NREL, just to do roof mount and has retrofit application. And refrigeration, secondary loops, both CO2 and medium temp glycol. The secondary, I believe, has been resurrected with new technology and with the huge reduction in refrigerant footprint. We consider this success in moving forward. Certainly on the medium temp glycol side, we're continuing to install and test the CO2 side, but we feel confident, like LED, in another 2 to 3 years, that's going to be widely accepted in the industry. Bioboilers, tough economic because what used to be a burden and a liability has now become a revenue stream, so it makes that technology even tougher. And then another example of a little bit of a departure, this is a hybrid overhead displacement air distribution system. It's not near as effective as we'd hoped. CFDs and theory suggested it would work well. Fan horsepower was greater than what was anticipated. So still being played with, but definitely in a refresh. So in a nutshell, we're interested in energy efficiency improvements. Oops. Energy efficiency improvements, but enhancements will only take us so far. We need to look at new systems and new methods and approaches. Collective resources of this community and this summit, that is our asset. We look to you to help us identify those. We're sharing information in order to spur innovation on your side. And we have a perfect recipe for solutions right now. And adversity is always overcome by human ingenuity. So we feel confident going forward. So technology we're most interested in is the one that you've yet to conceive. And when I wrote that, I thought, you know, maybe that's not right. Maybe you've already conceived it. You just haven't shared it. So I should rephrase that to the technology we're most interested in is the one we haven't heard of yet. And we have application for it. So, thank you.